Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit Green Ventures Landscaping. .com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN will be with us at 7:30, and we will get into the Predators and the NHL trading deadline with him. So looking forward to that. Bruce Feldman coming up at 8:30 from The Athletic. A lot of stuff on the football front to get into with Bruce. So all that coming later in the show. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, it was not a good day for the Predators yesterday. They lose in regulation to the Red Wings, 4-2 the final, and Seattle wins last night, which actually means Seattle jumped Edmonton in the Pacific Division for the moment. So the final wild card team in the Western Conference as of this morning is the Edmonton Oilers at 66 points. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
We'll see. Who's their goalie
right
now?
Last.
It's Jari. He's in there, but it's Jari and Connor Ingram. It ain't going well.
That seems like it could be an issue.
It's a big issue. It is not. I mean, when they made the trade for Jari, I was like, really? Do you think that's going to be your answer? Is Tristan Jari in goal? And so far, it's worked out where it's not their answer. So, going to be interesting to see what Edmonton does there. But, I mean, Seattle beat Carolina. Carolina's been virtually unstoppable lately, and Seattle at home beats them last night. So, not a result that you're looking for there if you're the Predators. Look, the game yesterday, I thought the Predators were fine. It was back and forth in the first period. Second period, they got a little loose with it. You know, Detroit attacked them on the rush. But look, it's hard for me to get too upset at the Predators yesterday. They got totally screwed. I mean, the Roman Josi non-call was atrocious. I mean, he got pitchforked out there, and it led to a two-on-one shorthanded rush that the Red Wings finished off. I mean, it's just a horrific non-call. And I understand the Predators on the power play. Like, I thought even beyond that, it was a horrifically officiated game yesterday. Like, it just, there's too many, like, there was one play where Saros basically got tackled in the crease, and they originally called it a goal and then went back and finally waved it off. It's like, of all the things you guys wave off immediately, that's not one of them. I just thought it was a horrifically officiated game yesterday. But, you know, as Brunette pointed out, you knew heading into the game that Detroit's a pretty good rush team, and there were some times, especially in the second period yesterday, where they just fed right into the rush, and you can't do that against Detroit. So,
yeah, you know, it's that was an unbelievably bad call, or unbelievably bad non-call, a miss. But you know, you've also, I mean, you've got to try to control as much as you can control in this situation. And I mean, to me, like, they're, I don't know what the line is, but obviously this is not where they wanted to be at this point with two games left before the deadline.
So two games left before the deadline. And now the question is, you know, what's going to happen? They do play tonight. They take on Columbus. So if you can win tonight, you kind of keep yourself right on the threshold there. If you lose today, that could be a problem. So we'll see what that part of it looks like. Elliot Friedman has a couple of interesting thoughts on the Predators kind of movement. He kind of opened his 32 Thoughts podcast yesterday with thoughts on the Predators. Let's start on the Stamkos front here, because, you know, we talked yesterday about Stamkos, the original report from Pierre LeBrun about teams he may be open to. Alex Doherty talked to him in the aftermath of that and said, you know, zero chance he's waving his no movement clause. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say yesterday on the 32 Thoughts podcast about what he's hearing on the Stamkos front.
The panel was Liam McHugh, Paul Bissonnette, Anson Carter, and special guest Tuukka Rask. And I got asked about Steven Stamkos. And I referenced a story where Stamkos was quoted as saying he wasn't going to wave. And I said, I am not coming on the TNT show and saying that one of the most popular teammates in the NHL, Stamkos, is a liar. Well, someone saw me that, and they sent me a note. And That story that was in Nashville was in response to a report from Pierre LeBrun that if Stamkos was asked to waive, he would consider Dallas, Minnesota, or Tampa Bay. And someone reached out and they wanted to tell me that the truth of this whole Stamkos situation is somewhere in the middle. They said that, you know, Pierre's story was accurate in the sense that if Stamkos was asked to waive, those are the kinds of teams he would consider. And basically what I was told is that the Predators players don't know what GM Barry Trotz is going to do. He has not approached his guys and said, I need to know if you're willing to waive his no trade clause for situation X. And I've talked about Ryan O'Reilly a lot and how he's told the team that he doesn't want to go and that he wants to be part of the Nashville team for the playoff push. And Stamkos, I was told, is in the same boat. He doesn't want to leave either. He wants to stay with the team and push them towards the playoffs. However, I was told that the one situation that could get him to change his mind would be if and only if the team decided they were going to do a complete sell-off. And then in that case, if Stamkos was approached and asked if he'd be willing to go, he would consider going to certain contenders. And I assume that Pierre is right about the likes of the Stars, the Wild, and his former team, the Lightning. However, it is his first choice, his desire to compete, stay, and go to the playoffs there. And if there's a sell-off, then we'll see.
So that was,
however,
yeah, that was Friedman yesterday on the 32 Thoughts podcast. So I said it yesterday, you know, I flash back to some comments at the end of last year from Stamkos at the end of season stuff. And there was all sorts of stuff going on then, like the March or so comments and all that stuff. But, you know, one thing he was asked about was, you know, how committed here is he moving forward? And basically his response was, as long as we're committed to winning, I'm here. If we're not, then we're probably having a different conversation at that point, which kind of goes right in line with what Elliot Friedman's talking about there. So I found those comments on the Stamkos front pretty interesting there.
Yeah. So my total takeaway from all of it is, and, you know, Alex Doherty asked him, he said, you know, zero. And I like that's what you expect. Like someone in that position is probably not going to be like, well, let me tell you which teams I'd waive it for. But there's an asterisk. There's an exception. There's a possibility. And to me, it's like, especially if you had the combination of like, I don't know, someone goes first, I guess. Holla gets traded or something. And it's like, okay, well, you just weaken the team for a third round pick or whatever. And then it's, okay, so it's starting to look that way. And then it's like Tampa is like, somehow figures out a way to make it work or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, I think it also is like if Barry Trotz approaches you and like, hey, this is what we're doing. Like, we're going to sell.
Yeah.
So, like, whether a move has already been made or not, like, if Barry Trotz, if they lose tonight and Barry Trotz walks in there Wednesday and is like, hey, we're selling. And O'Reilly, be prepared. Like, start thinking about where you want to go. Like, and those kind of things. Stamkos, same thing. Like, would you be willing to move? Then I think that changes the math because that kind of shows you at that point, you know, what your team thinks about your playoff chances there. So that part of it is going to be interesting. I mean, my guess still is that the trade deadline is going to come and go and Steven Stamkos is going to be a member of the Nashville Predators. But there are rapid decisions coming up. Like tonight's game, pretty important when it comes to the playoff push here. If you lose that one, it's not good. Like, they really need to win. If they want to keep this thing together, they probably really need to win the next two, would be my advice.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it may be as simple as lose today, start talking about stuff tomorrow.
Could be.
Win today, hold off.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some more comments from Elliot Friedman on Ryan O'Reilly that we will get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball takes on Central Arkansas at 4:30. Catch all the action on 102.1 The Ville. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. We'll have Greg Wyshynski coming up here at 7:30. We'll get into the NHL trading deadline with him, taking your thoughts on the Predators at 615-737-1025. We mentioned the comments that Elliot Friedman had on Steven Stamkos. He also addressed the Ryan O'Reilly situation as well. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say on his 32 Thoughts podcast.
I don't think anything's impossible, and I do believe Trotz has been asked about it, but I just heard, and again, like, things can change with one phone call. I really hate making demonstrative statements at this time of the year. I just heard it was unlikely he was going to move now. And the same goes for O'Reilly. O'Reilly doesn't have it written, but he's been given the control. But teams have not, even though it's been like, no, he doesn't want to leave, no, teams have not run away from it. And they've come back to him and come back to the Predators and been saying, hey, we still want to trade for you. And I've heard that even though Nashville has said he doesn't want to go anywhere, they have reserved the right to go to him too and say, if we get an offer we like, then we're going to take it to him. We're not, like, I haven't heard that they've said we're just going to do it. Like, that hasn't come across my lap, but I've heard that they've reserved the right to say, we can take it to you, and we want you to consider it.
So that was the O'Reilly part of this, where, look, it's pretty clear Ryan O'Reilly doesn't want to go anywhere, and we've talked about that. It's also clear that there's a ton of interest for him out there. So, and Friedman's point essentially there was, you know, they're going to try as much as they can to honor Ryan O'Reilly's wishes here, but if there's an offer that they really, really like, that they're going to approach him about it. Look, they can. It's their organization, and they can do whatever they want. I kind of think sometimes they're being a little bit too nice here. Like, I love Ryan O'Reilly. We talked yesterday a lot about how important Ryan O'Reilly is. If you get an offer that you love from Ryan O'Reilly and he doesn't want to go, sometimes you just have to say, buddy, I'm sorry, we got to take this offer. Like, look, I understand having respect for Ryan O'Reilly. I've got a ton of respect for Ryan O'Reilly. I know how important Ryan O'Reilly is. But your job is to do what's best for your organization. Your job is not to do what's best for Ryan O'Reilly. And if the Predators get an offer that is substantial, which I think they can, we'll see, on the O'Reilly front, if it comes out that they passed up on it because Ryan O'Reilly didn't want to go anywhere, that's not going to go over well with this fan base.
And that's the thing. The way that Friedman explained it there is they'll take it to him. Okay. And I think that's better than, hey, Ryan, your flight to, you know, where, you know, you'll pack your bags. It's over. Let me blindside you. Okay. So you take it to him. But then what if he says, no, then what? Oh, okay, never mind. You can't do it. You take it to him and say, listen, I got an offer that's really good, and we think we're going to do this. I just want you to know. That's how you take it to him. You don't take it to him and ask him, right? You can't do that.
I mean, again, I understand they've got all the respect in the world for Ryan O'Reilly. Hey, look, we talked yesterday about, you know, you can extend him on July 1st, like, if you want to. Like, you can keep him around. But to me, at 35 years old, if you get a huge offer for him, and look, if you get an offer for him to the point where you're considering it, which means that you're kind of punting on the rest of this season, and you don't do it because he doesn't want to move, that's malpractice. I'm sorry. Like, I said it yesterday. They have not had this opportunity very often where they've had either, number one, been in position where they could sell and get somebody like this or get a return like I think they could get. Or number two, that they've had players worth it, right? Like, they have a player right now who's 35 years old, who's got all the skins on the wall, who's having a great year. By the way, I had another point yesterday. Who's having a great year that there's going to be a heavy amount of interest in. It just, to me, it would be malpractice if you don't make the move only because he doesn't want to go somewhere. I'm sorry. Like, you just – you can't operate that way if you're the Predators.
Yeah. Pete Houston says, just trade him and re-sign him when he's a free agent. Well, he's not a free agent this summer, so – and that's part of the reason teams love this. Like, you get an extra year tacked on. It's not just a rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and then you have the – you factor in the whole – just the fact that Barry Trotz is lame duck GM. I don't know that that changes, like, what he does. Like, you're going to do the job either way, whether there's been nothing that ever happened and you're just the GM, or we know the situation now. I don't know why it would really change how you do the job. But I do think that, like, you can't go out like that. You can't go out not making a deal that could make a difference for the future of the franchise. If indeed that deal comes across your desk. Yeah.
Like, it's like I said, I think there's – it's got to be good. I'm not giving Ryan
O'Reilly –
but it's
going to be, right? I think it's going to be good. That's going to be a good offer.
I would think so. I mean, like, I don't know what Barry Trotz's price is for Ryan O'Reilly. I would assume it's pretty high. Like, it needs to be pretty high.
Sure.
So, but if somebody meets that price – I think you got to do it. Like, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to operate the other way at that point. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. I enjoy being a fan of the Preds because they actually do care about people. They care about their players, you know, well-being and everything. They have been known for that for a long time. Sometimes I think they care too much. And I have a feeling that this is part of one of those situations where the organization and Trotz are going to be all in their feels, and they're going to go off their feels instead of off their minds and thinking of what would be best for the organization in the long run. That's my concern. And I think that's been voiced pretty prevalently throughout the weeks, months. So, y'all have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it. I mean, the other part of this is, like, I just don't love the idea of treating somebody like they have something they don't have. Like, you have enough people who already have full control over what happens. Right. You don't need to add another one to it.
Well, just say you do, too. Yeah. You have double secret full control.
Like, by the way, Ryan O'Reilly's agent could have negotiated that in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get, like, look, first of all, I agree with Nate, and I think that's great. That's been a great thing about this franchise. I mean, they've moved guys before,
sure, know,
who didn't want to be moved. Like, that happens.
They traded Shea Weber. He didn't want to get traded.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, the most beloved guy in the franchise, right? Like, these things happen. So, like, they've still had to do a lot of the business of pro sports over the years. And with this one, it's – yeah, you have so much respect for the guy. I get it. And who doesn't? Like, no one in this league doesn't respect Ryan O'Reilly or think as highly about him as you can think of a hockey player. But at the same time, like, you know, sometimes business is business. And I do wonder, it's like the thing Elliot Friedman's talking about with Stamkos. Like, is Ryan O'Reilly happy here, even if there's a complete sell-off around him?
That's a good question.
And he's still like, yeah, I don't care. I'm
because
good.
Underlying in all of this with O'Reilly, Stamkos, all of it, is the belief that they're going to get it done and they're going to make the playoffs. Like, they believe that.
Yeah.
And they could be right. I have no idea. What a good day yesterday. They could be right. But if that is taken out from under them, how much does that change the way they view the situation?
Yeah, like, I get it. It'd be great if you could just let them find out and then make moves.
Right.
That is the offseason, but this is the reality of the trading deadline. Sometimes you can really help yourself, and I think with him in particular, this is the sweet spot.
We'll be joined by Greg Wyshynski from ESPN coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. The NHL trade deadline coming up on Friday. Preds are 4 points out of a playoff spot heading into tonight's game against Columbus. To help us talk about all that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Greg, good morning. How are you?
So what's the bigger shock, that the Predators are that distance from a playoff spot, or that they have to leap over the San Jose Sharks to get there?
That's a good question.
Who could have even predicted that before the season?
Well, Greg was, it's always jarring. Like, you look at the standings, obviously we know they change all the time, but I woke up this morning and the last wild card team right now is Edmonton. I'm like, all right, yeah. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, last wild card spot right now.
There's a lot of, sort of X factors going on this season that we didn't anticipate. I don't think we anticipated the Sharks thing happening. I don't think in the East we anticipated some of the teams that are in the bottom of that conference being where they are. And obviously one of those teams is Seattle. That's, the rise of the Kraken, so as it were. I feel like I'm talking about, Clash of the Titans here, is one of the more unexpected things. They got a new coach in Lane Lambert. Their goaltending figured itself out. They're getting enough offense, and they've become a real disturber in that Pacific Division, which is not great news, as you mentioned, for the Preds, because now all of a sudden they've got to have an Oilers team in the wild card instead of somebody else.
Yep, absolutely. So let's start there. Preds have, it was a horrible start to the year. They pulled themselves out of it, and they're at least in the mix here. They're 4 points out. Tough result for them yesterday against Detroit, but a couple of games before the deadline. And on the one hand, you got a bunch of veterans on the team, Greg, that, as you know, have done a lot of winning, and they want to make a push here and make the playoffs. And on the other hand, you've got an opportunity, particularly with a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, that if you sell off, probably going to get a pretty significant return for him. So if you're Barry Trotz this week, how are you handling the deadline for the Nashville Predators?
Well, it's a double-edged sword question, because it's how I'd like him to handle it and how I think he'll handle it.
Yeah.
How I'd like him to handle it is to be a realist and to look at the standings and look at the teams in front of you and understand that while it's going to be a real fun finish, it may not ultimately result in this team making the playoffs in the West. And, I don't want to discount making the playoffs. It's a lot of playoff revenue. It's good experience for the younger players, but it's just going to be tough to get in. So then the question then becomes, what do you do? Well, if I were Barry Trotz, rather, I'd go and have some difficult conversations with my veterans and try to maximize what is going to be a market where I think there's teams looking for a Ryan O'Reilly. I think there's teams looking for a Jonathan Marchessault. So I think there are teams that will be in business to grab those guys. What I think Barry will ultimately do is completely defer to his guys. And if they want to stick around for a playoff race, they'll probably stick around for a playoff race. And that's just, to Barry's credit, that's his character. But I don't know if it ultimately serves the best interest of the team.
No, I don't think it does. We've been talking a lot about that, Greg. Well, on O'Reilly in particular, what do you think the return might be, and who might be most interested?
Oh God, any team with a want and need for a great defensively oriented third line center. And it's funny, we always say defensively oriented. His offensive season this year is insane. He's been one of the best two-way centers in the league this year. Listen, there's a ton of teams that are in the market for a center, Colorado being maybe chief among them. I think that there's been some connections drawn between themselves and another former Av, which is Nazem Kadri of the Calgary Flames. I think O'Reilly could certainly be an interesting fit in a place like Utah. I think O'Reilly could be an interesting fit in a place like Boston. There's a ton of teams that are in the market for a center of his abilities. And the thing that makes him special is it's not just like he's a great offensive player and one of the best faceoff men that's in the league in the last 20 years, but he's also got that insanely great playoff resume of helping to bring the Blues a Stanley Cup and then winning the Conn Smythe in the process. So he's a total package player. His age is a concern, but from a contractual standpoint, money-wise and everything else, he's clearly one of the most desirable guys in the market if he gets there.
So, Greg, as you know, you flash back to mid-November and some of the conversations we were having about Steven Stamkos, it's like, man, what has happened here? And then since then, he's gone on an absolute tear. He's reached 30 goals again. But, if you're him, you've got total control on what's going on here. You've got a no-movement clause. You're 36 years old. And I think you would agree. I don't think the Predators are on the precipice of competing for a championship here. So how do you think he views not only where the team is right now, but where he's at in his career with two more years left on his deal?
Yeah, it's funny about his offense. I think it was Brady Shea who told me earlier this season, goal scorers don't all of a sudden forget how to score goals, right? So it's just like a matter of time before he can kind of figure it out, and boy, did he. Here's the answer, man. At his age and at this point in his career, I think family is paramount. And so there's a level of comfortability now for him in Nashville. It's obviously a place that he chose to live and wanted to live. There's going to be other opportunities that'll be maybe intriguing, including a return back to Toronto where, you know, he's got roots. But ultimately, I think it comes down to his comfortability. I mean, yeah, we could say he's going to be chasing a cup or wanting to play for a contender and not, and, you know, and play games that are maybe a bit more meaningful than the ones the Predators are going to be playing this season. But I think he's, I mean, based on what he said publicly, at least, he's content to be in a playoff race and content to, you know, continue to fulfill his contract with the Predators. So there'd be a market for him for sure. I mean, he's really turned his season around, like you said, but I think that ultimately he's the one who I look at and say, I would be surprised if he moved by Friday.
Greg, how do you view the job done this year by Andrew Brunette with the Preds?
Well, I mean, turn him around. I mean, there's a lot of factors for that, but, you know, I was talking to somebody about Bruno the other day, actually, who knew him when he was an associate coach in Jersey. And, you know, he's a solid coach with a good view of the kind of offensive system he wants to play. I think he's got a good temperament for rough waters. I was thinking a lot about that when we had the Predators struggling earlier this season, when the fact that his first head coaching job was coming in and picking up the pieces after Joel Quenneville had to retire in Florida, or had to resign rather in Florida. You know, that wasn't a very easy job and he managed it. And I think he's got a real knack for trying to lead teams out of the abyss. You know, we'll see what the next GM thinks of him. I think that's the real question on Bruno's mind right now and a lot of people's minds. But I think he's acquitted himself well this season after a really bad start.
So, Greg, I think one of the most interesting names to me this week is Robert Thomas in St. Louis. I mean, you're talking about a 26-year-old player who's 2 years removed from an 86-point season at center. And I mean, just frankly, those guys don't become available that much. Now, as we know, Alex Steen's taking over for Doug Armstrong next year. It's kind of a retool going on in St. Louis. So what do you make of Robert Thomas and his potential availability this week? And is if they move on from him, is that a mistake for St. Louis in your mind?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I don't think it is, because I do think that they need a more significant teardown than maybe they admit there. Just because of the age of some of the people on that roster and maybe the roster is built for a different time in the NHL than where we are right now. But, you know, Thomas is, God, when's the last time we've had a number one center come available at the trade deadline like this? I mean, it's with that kind of term and his age, his injury history gives me a little pause. It seems like he does duck out of the lineup a bit during his career. But when he's in, I mean, he's the number one guy. So what's the cost of acquisition? It's really high. I've talked to a bunch of general managers this week that have a sense of what the market is for Thomas. And they all tell me that, like, it's a major blue chip prospect. It's, you know, young guys that are on the roster. It's going to be a Quinn Hughes level of return for a guy who, much like Quinn Hughes, doesn't often become available. I think the really important thing to remember here, though, boys, is that the Blues don't feel like they need to trade him. I think there's a lot of patience there that isn't really being taken into consideration. It's not a trade they have to make right now. If they wanted to make it still, they could do it in the summer and probably find a more robust market once teams get their caps in order to try to acquire him. Or they just keep him around because, like we talked about, he's a pretty good player.
Greg, last thing for you. I mean, we talked about Edmonton to start this segment here. I'm curious from your perspective here. You know, McDavid, we would all agree, is the best player on the earth. He might be the most talented hockey player I've ever seen with my two eyes. And keep in mind, I'm not old enough to have watched like prime Gretzky or Lemieux.
We know you're young.
Thank you. Appreciate that. but like we all know how great McDavid is. But, I mean, he just really hasn't. I mean, he's not got a cup yet. Obviously, they just won the silver medal. The question from earlier this past week about Stanley Cups finding other people and not him. Like, how much pressure is on him right now to close this season out, compete for a championship, and ultimately win one over the next couple of years here in Edmonton?
First off, I'm glad you almost addressed him by his proper name, which is silver medalist Connor McDavid.
Yes.
I think it's important that we affix that to as many Canadians as we can going forward. You know what? Here's the thing about Connor that I find really interesting. In every other sport, when you're that guy on that level, I do think that the world comes crashing down on you if you don't win a championship. And listen, he's going to get questions about it, and no one wants to see this guy go into the Hall of Fame without a Stanley Cup ring because, like, he's that good. The thing about Connor, though, is he's got kind of plausible deniability when it comes to his championship prospects. I think people look at his time at Edmonton, and they blame Edmonton. They don't blame McDavid. Like, McDavid dragged that team to the Stanley Cup final twice. It's not his, he can't play goal. like there's other things that have gone wrong with that team beyond what McDavid's been able to do. Yeah, he's going to get knocked for not winning the big one. But when it comes to his NHL career, I think he's done everything he can to try to win there, including taking a short-term contract to keep their window open to win with him and Draisaitl there.
Yep.
But ultimately, if it doesn't happen, I don't think it's going to fall on his shoulders. I think it's going to fall on the organization's shoulders. And then, you know, hopefully he comes to, like, L.A. or something and they win. Or Nashville. Who knows?
Hey.
Who knows where he's going to go?
Yeah, let's get that,
in the United
States. Get that started. Get in America. Greg, I know it's a really busy week. You're kind with your time, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Greg Wyshynski, our guest here from ESPN. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know who else doesn't know diddly? Me.
I'm Paul Kuharsky. No, I'm Paul Kuharsky.
I'll say my name 1,000 times.
Makes you want to puke.
I haven't bought my own shirt in a long time.
Joe, do you have pointy nipples that show through the polo?
Next spring meetings, a Feinbaum, Rex Road, shirtless desk appearance on the beach.
I'm not very good at assessing bodies with shirts on.
I got length, you know.
And it's getting bigger and bigger.
I think this is mating season.
I'm sickened either way. I'm just sickened. Why are people still saying stupid crap like this?
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. By the way, the spring meetings for the SEC, not that far away. So we need to start probably organizing this Feinbaum, Rexroad, shirtless desk appearance on the SEC network.
Well, the only reason I went last year is because I was doing a story on Feinbaum. I can't do a story on Feinbaum every year, right?
Sure you can.
I mean, I guess I could.
Yeah.
You know.
What's to stop?
I mean, he's interesting. There's enough stories about Feinbaum.
You know what would be even more interesting of that story? If you guys did a shirtless desk appearance on the SEC network.
That is true. That is. That
the ratings would spike.
Yeah, sex sells. And thank you, Ian, for coming with my other song that makes me want to punch something or somebody. My God. Like, what's worse? What is the worst? Which is the worst song? That'd be actually a good poll for the listeners. Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy, or Beach Boys, Kokomo.
Both good songs.
Like, they're both just horrific, horrific songs. Horrific songs. And I don't think we tie songs to times in life, right? So I probably think some of the stuff from the early 90s is like better than it is, although I still think it holds up awfully well. My, you know, my Pearl Jam, my Nirvana, my Smashing Pumpkins, etc.
Sure.
You know, my Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, you know, I still think that stuff is like some of the best music ever made. And yes, this was like high school and like pop radio. Some of the stuff in the 80s was horrible, especially in the late 80s. But I really think those songs are absolutely objectively awful. So let me know what you think on that, on which one of those is worse. So I got two possibilities today. I guess I could try to knock out. But I think I'll go with this, and then we will probably just stick with this because it's heading this way, and we made so much fun about it. I thought when it was first proposed, it was like, oh, my God, this guy is such a clown. We're all going to laugh at him. It'll never come to this. Uh-oh, fine. Eli Drinkwitz said so too, but whatever. Who cares about him? But you mentioned the Josh Heupel interview with Chris Lowe. And, man, kind of buried in that.
Don't get me started.
I know. Buried in that article. You know, here's a segment from Chris's story. He says the playoff will remain at 12 games in 2026, but Heupel told On3 he prefers a 24-team format, which the Big Ten has proposed. Quote from Josh Heupel, quote, the way college football is constantly changing, that probably makes the most sense. Really? Does it? This is where coaches, like, we can't let coaches have a say because they're just going to choose things that give them more job security. Again, it's just like the NCAA tournament expansion. Oh, yeah, let's get it to about 90, and then a few more of us will not get fired because, you know, you get fired if you don't make the NCAA tournament after a few years. So now we're going to go to 24, so everybody can say, hey, we're a playoff team. What do you want from me? We're a playoff team. Do you know how low the bar is? Not to mention all the other things that are dumb. The only thing about the 2014 format that I do like is, you know, conference championship games, you can't have this many rounds of a playoff that we already have and still have those. So this would make it like you can't even consider doing them anymore. So I guess I would like that. But other than that, it's just ridiculous. And I'm telling you, it's not just Josh Heupel here.
No.
There's serious momentum for it. And the coaches are driving it. And again, it's just all these different groups in college sports self-serving. And here we are again.
Oh, this has been predictable from the start, which is why I said expanding from four was stupid. I mean, this is never going to stop. And so here we are, and it's not stopping. Who knew? Shocker. It's amazing that it's played out this way. I mean, it's just dumb. And here's the other part of
this. Well, it hasn't played out yet.
Well, it's going to. I guarantee it. And the other part of this is, here's what I guess the coaches don't realize in this, which is fine. They'll realize it when they get fired. Just because, when it does expand to 24 and we get there at some point, you know, just making the playoffs not going to be good enough anymore.
Right.
Exactly. You don't understand. Josh Heupel is not going to be like, well, we made the playoffs. It's like, well, good. 24 teams make the playoff, Josh. Like, that's not going to – that level of, making the playoff used to be an accomplishment. It's not going to be moving forward anymore.
Right.
They don't seem to clock that in their head.
Right, exactly. No, it won't be. But that is the mindset. It's like everything's about the playoff. And again, that was my whole problem with the four is that everything else became meaningless. Like good bowl games, you know, conference championships, all that stuff. So it's like, well, okay, so expand it. 24 is again basically college football in a lot of ways, and I don't necessarily have a problem with this theoretically, just like college basketball. Like it's pro sports. It's minor league pro sports. So emulate the pros. Like, I think college basketball, some of the things they're doing with the on-court product, for example, they're not calling every little tiny nitpicky travel anymore in college basketball. And I think it helps the game. And they've gotten rid of all the flopping in college basketball, which helps the watchability of the game. We're seeing scoring. So there's a lot of things you should do to emulate. Well, we already complained about the NHL and NBA allowing half their teams to be in the playoff, you know? And I understand that there's a bigger percentage of teams here, like what in Power 5, but it's like, okay, so how many Power 5 teams we have then? So we have, you know, like 65, I guess, something like that. I think that's right.
Power 4 now, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, in basketball, it's Power 5 still because you throw in the Big East. Right, okay, so the Power 4. So 24, so more than a third of your teams, and it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, like look at the number in the pro leagues that have the numbers that were like, wow, that's a lot. And even then, some of them are talking about expanding too, which is just comical. I mean, all of sports, look at what baseball's done. I don't like that either. It's like, well, I guess we could just turn sports into let's just have a big tournament the whole time. It's just a tournament.
I remember in sports when making the playoffs meant something. That was fun.
I mean, baseball, as a baseball fan, I understand, and again, by the way, same guy is like, you know, you got Tony Petitti has his hands in both. Like, it used to be such a big deal to win the division, to get in. And I mean, I grew up with the ALCS, NLCS, and World Series. And that, to me, I'd go back to that right now in a minute. But 24, you may be right. I mean, I can't sit here and with a straight face say, like, this is not going to happen. I'm still hopeful, though. I mean, I think 16 is probably what it should just end at. Be at 16 and end there. I'd be fine with 12 forever. But 16, that's a fine stopping point. 24 is a joke.
Well, it's just – it's never good enough. I mean, look, when they get to 24, teams 25 through 32 will be sitting there whining about how they're not in. I mean, it just – it's never good enough. And that's been the problem with this the whole time. And we're going to get to a place where you look at it and it's – and people are talking about it on the text line right now. It's like, why do you even play the regular season? Like, I mean, can you – like, take a team like Ohio State. And the playoff expands to 24. What the heck are they playing regular season for? They're going to get in the playoff. Why do they care? Right? Like, it just – it totally ruins the sport.
And, totally. And a big part of this, whatever it is if you're not – you know, again, this is TV content. We're talking about money.
Yep.
Well, TV executives, you better figure out a way to give us good games in September, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna, this should be studied. Like, it's going to go from unquestionably the sport that had the best regular season, unquestionably. Like, it's not even close. To a sport where the regular season, and probably at the end of this, when it gets to 24, which it will in the next 10 years, they're gonna, in a 15-year span, they're going to go from the best regular season in sports to a regular season that is totally meaningless in a 15-year span. And they just don't care. So that's where we are. And it's hard for me to get mad at the coaches because I understand it's always been about job preservation for them. I don't expect them to change. But it's everybody else at some point, the common sense has got to step in. And it just never does with these people.
Yeah.
It's amazing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the NFL, get back into the franchise tag deadline, which is today. What could that mean for the Titans and free agency? More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.